The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, it's a great pleasure to chat again on air to Stephanie. Stephanie Regan is of course, an expert in relationships and separations and so on, and is one of the foremost people involved. And today, welcome to the programme, Stephanie. We're going to talk about blame.
Yes, thank you, Ivan. Lovely to hear you. We're going to talk about blame. Why? I suppose because blame comes to my mind because it's very it can be very toxic when it's, you know, excessive, when people are inclined to blame others. And I think we've all been at the butt end of that. So I think it's about just opening that out a little bit and unraveling it, because I see a lot of it both, you know, in ordinary life, but also in clinical work. You see a lot of it where people cannot get forward. And it really is because they are blaming others for their situation. Excuse me. Blaming others for their situation when that is not the right thing to do. So it can stop progress. It can stop recovery in your life. And of course, it can be very toxic if you're at the butt end of that blame.
Right. So the idea, like in politics, there was always a rule John Bruton had: you need one body between you and the door, someone to throw under the bus when things went wrong. So in relationships, so it's different because there's give and take. So I can understand the motivation for blame. It's to pass the buck, but there are real negatives from it.
Well, there are huge negatives from it. And as you say, although it seems simple, you're right, to pass the buck, it seems simplistic at one level. But if you understand the mindset of the person who's doing the blaming, they're shifting that blame for many reasons. They're shifting that blame because it makes them feel better. They're shifting that blame because they don't have to deal with maybe guilt about something they've said or done. You know, and it's sort of a childish way of dealing with each other. It's a way of not owning what you've done yourself and taking responsibility for it, and maybe moving to the point of, you know, even, you know, acting in a very responsible way, looking at it and saying, okay, maybe I went too far there, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Instead, they stick with it and they point the finger outwards, it's your fault. So the way it impacts people individually and in their relationships is really, it stops people progressing. It's kind of a childlike way of dealing with others and dealing with things when they go wrong. We see it. I mean, you were just talking there about Trump with that in that very interesting interview. But I mean, he's giving us all a great example all the time. Even, you know, he's got that personality type where he is going to, and many people have this, where they are resistant to changing their behavior, even if their behavior is causing them problems. Their instinct is always to blame others. They don't look to what they can change. So that's a big problem in a relationship, as you can imagine.
So if you're kind of a narcissistic person who always blames someone else and doesn't take responsibility, how do you break the cycle?
Yeah, I think you have to know what you can change and what you cannot. And personality type is very fixed. But often there's many grade, you know, if you look at it as an arc between 0 and 100, there's many levels. And I think Trump, you would be way up there at the end. But there'd be many at the beginning where there's a tendency to blame. And you could, first of all, I think understanding that they're just trying to shift blame maybe a little bit because they feel uncomfortable with whatever feeling is coming up in the moment. It may be that they don't deal well with being asked to stand, you know, to explain themselves. And this often, you know, we're all formed by our childhood. We know that. But so look at it maybe a little more benignly, the blaming. See it maybe as, is there something behind this? So if you can get into that kind of mentality and become more curious about why they're blaming you, it can help you to work it through. I think the other is to refuse to take it on board. You have to look at how much of it you're taking on board yourself. So don't take it on board. Say, you're 100% wrong in blaming me. I had nothing to do with that. This is about what you did. You know, so point the, you know, lens backwards, rather not the finger in the pointed sense, but rather bring the lens back so the person has to look at what they did. That can help. Because if you don't do that, the cycle just continues. And what happens is people feel very separated from their partner, very separated from the person they're with, because they're obviously, if you feel blamed and you're going to resent that over time, you're not going to be able to just put that aside and love this person. So it's very destructive between you. So you do, you know, it erodes the trust between you, and it certainly avoids you and stops you from being in any way closer. So I think there's a very good reason why you should try and press against any of that over-blaming that is coming your way.
What about self-blame?
Well, self-blame is kind of interesting. I suppose it's a little what we would call the excess of blame. And self-blame is very, very associated, you know, with a kind of trauma response. We see it. Everybody knows this. When we speak about child abuse, we're always shocked that even in clinical terms, that we find this child in front of us still blaming this adult child in front of us still blaming themselves. So what it explains, I suppose, what that points to is it's a way of coping with something that is going on that you cannot control and that you find very difficult. And when you're a child, you only have a few schemas to draw on and a few defenses. And one of the defenses, it quite simply is to say, it must be me. And so that can be, if people are inclined to blame too much, I would say there's usually something rooted there, a self-esteem or an issue earlier that could really do with being unraveled. And that is really useful for people because blame can be really toxic to us. You know, it can really stop people from being who they can be and being, as I say, productive and moving forward in their lives.
Okay. Now, I'm going to give you a real life situation between me and Deirdre, right? So
okay.
We have two adorable cats, Millie and Bella. And sometimes on a winter's evening, we'd have them indoor overnight. Mm-hmm. And sometimes Deirdre is putting them in because I go to bed before her the odd night. And the cat litter, you know, their mm-hmm. business. She forgets to bring it in and put it on the floor. So I go down the next morning at 7:30. And you know what? The poor cat had no choice because there's no cat litter. Like, what can I do but blame her?
Well, maybe in that instance, you see, sometimes blame is appropriate. Isn't that the point we're talking? So maybe I think I'd have to stick up for you there, Ivan. I think sometimes the blame is appropriate. So we're really talking about, but on the other hand, what if she blames you for not reminding her?
She will twist and turn on the wind. But actually, the actual element of forgiveness, because I have to left to clean up the mess, right, is that sometimes I forget to put the cat litter tray in as well. So I'd say there, but for the grace of God, go
so
I.
You can,
so after 38 years of marriage and purgatory and all this kind of thing, that's how we've kept it together. That, you know, you can find it for good because you can actually picture a scenario where I could have been the person who messed that up too.
Yeah, so you can be forgiving and all of that. But I suppose where this also, and I agree with you as somebody who's, you know, into the 28 years of marriage, I would say, you know, you find these ways of understanding each other and you know, look, that's the way this person operates and they do their best not to do that, but it happens. And we do the very same. So that's what happens in marriage. But we see this, I see this very early, even in relationships, young relationships, you know, they're at the dating stage. And this dynamic is starting where there's a kind of a toxic blaming going on. And you'll see people kind of saying, oh, well, maybe if I, you know, if I hadn't done that, you know, he wouldn't have done this. You know, and it would be quite wrong, you know. I mean, we know it in the full scheme of abuse that people will say, well, I wouldn't have to shout at you, you know, if you didn't annoy me so much.
Well, one of the things about that in the dating, in the early years, right, people, so we'll meet at 8:00 under Cleary's clock or whatever it is, and someone turns up at 8:20. I mean, like, mm-hmm. If someone serially is lacking in punctuality, what are we going to do to straighten this out? Because it just can't go on.
Yeah. But you see, there's appropriate blame and there's this, what I'm talking about is the excess of blame when it really, I mean, blame, it's important to point out when things are wrong and when the person is responsible for it. But the question is, can that person take ownership of what they have done? Can they say, hey, sorry, you know, we did say 8 and I was, you know, I got tied up. But nowadays, I mean, we've so many ways to deal with those situations. So what we're really, where I'm pointing the lens is at when it is toxic, when you feel you know it's not your fault, but somehow it's always your fault. That is a toxic situation. And that happens people a lot. And depending then, if you are that kind of person who does a little bit extra of the self-blame and you meet a person who is inclined to blame, you have something very negative going on where something very unhealthy is happening. And people are being over-blamed and they haven't got the, if you like, the mindset to stand up for themselves and to push outwards against that. And I see a lot of that. I'll tell you where else I see it, if I may mention. I see it a lot in breakups both of a relationship in earlier stages and breakups in marriages. There is a huge need to blame and to put that person down. And it's a really strong kind of, I think, societal and cultural thing where we have to find fault. We have to point the finger. We have to find out who is 100% to blame. Whereas the reality is two people often do 100%, have put in 100% effort to make things work. And you know what? It's not going to work. And it doesn't always have to be somebody's fault. You don't always have to blame somebody. Take the share of blame, which is or ownership of the issue, each person, and move forward in life.
Okay. So if you're the partner who accepts blame for the sake of peace, actually, it's ultimately going to be toxic. Sage advice from Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist at Stephanie B. Regan. Of course, you can access her. Thank you. As always, a pleasure to talk to you again.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.